This is Lawrence Reyes, and I'm convening the KPFK Committee of Inclusion meeting, a committee meeting. And we do not need a regular quorum with this committee works, unless the committee decides to have a quorum. This committee works on almost like a task force. So I'll entertain who's here. I know there's two Michaels here, right? First, Michael, can you identify yourself by your first name and your last name if you want, or your last initial?
Yeah, this is Michael Nofik.
Okay.
I'm the chair of the local station board.
Okay.
And my name is Michael Heiss, H-E-I. SS, and I am a candidate for local station board. And for what it's worth, fellas, the stream still out of the KPFTX is still not working, so I'll just stick with this.
Okay, did you go to the Committee of Inclusion and hit the listen button?
Yep, I'm doing it right now, and I refreshed the site, the little arrow carrot turns. There we go. Okay, thank you. I'm going to hang up and just listen.
Okay, thank you. All right, so I guess it's only me and you, Michael. What you want to do?
Wait a minute. Yeah. I'm on it.
Who's that?
It's Nancy Lawrence.
Nancy. Hey, Nancy Lawrence.
Yes, I got something on my email about this a few days ago from KPFK Outreach. And,
okay.
Bella's not going to be there. And I mean, give me a chance to talk to you and find out what's going on because, you know, this vote that happened and the new gay people, and it seems like, I'll tell you something, it's even impacted the Peace and Freedom Party. Getting maybe through third person, fourth person, and so I, you know, it's
breaking up a little bit.
Yeah, we had a state central committee yesterday.
There was a lot of naysaying going on, including on the airwaves, but the purpose of the committee of inclusion, obviously, is to try to include particularly underserved and underrepresented communities. There is a proposal, which I think is going to go to the PNC, and I've been working on it, Lawrence, to get to you. For incorporating a survey of the listeners to go out with the ballot to kind of get a picture of the demographics of the existing listener base of actually all five stations. So it would be a voluntary survey, but we would hope that the listeners, you know, since most of the listeners, active listeners, will be getting the ballot. I mean, there's a, you know, a certain shift in the membership, but the everybody who is a member as of June 30th will be getting a ballot for the LSP elections. And so
we
wanted to try to incorporate a survey of, like, you know, self-identified race, nationality, language use in the home, age, gender, you know, sexual orientation, you know, abilities or disabilities, and, you know, similar type of information. So we have a clearer picture of who's currently members.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I would like to get mine in paper form. That's one of the reasons. Because, you know, I can't do this thing online. I had so much trouble voting against New Day, even though it was just one vote. You know, because I didn't see my thing show up on my email, and I thought, oh, God, they didn't get it.
Yeah, you have to opt in to get a paper ballot. You can still do so. Probably the best way is to communicate with the National Election Supervisor about it.
Mm-hmm. I may have her phone number somewhere, but I'm not sure.
It's on the website. I don't have it in front of me. It's a 510. A number for, you know, it's like a voicemail. You leave a message.
Now, I suspect a lot of people who have difficulties like you were talking about paper pellet too.
Yeah, the digital divide is certainly a factor in terms of membership and other things, both for age and economic status. Although, you know, cell phones or smartphones are quite widespread these days, you know. And a part of the problem is that the Pacifica hasn't caught up with that in terms of how it gets its content and communications out.
I apologize. I dialed back in. This is Mike Heiss because I realize you can't ask questions when you're listening to it on the computer. If I might, I would like to suggest that the survey is a great idea, but one of the questions, in addition to ethnicity and things related to that, should be languages spoken at home, because because somebody...
I did mention that, actually. Maybe it wasn't clear enough.
Good.
Yeah, we asked about languages in the home and economic status of people willing to tell us, you know, their family, household income, and so on. Just to get really as much data as we can get about
I wouldn't put in economic status. I don't think people will answer that, but... You know, it's not a question of serving you whether you're, or including you whether you're rich, poor, middle class, or whatever. It's, is your community, of which in Los Angeles there are bazillions of them, being served as best we can through the airtime that's available?
Yeah, but questions of poverty are important questions. One of the best shows we ever had on KPFK was actually an NPR show, which was Smiley and West. They did a show for a number of years focused on the question of poverty and how central it is. And I think that, particularly with the pandemic, so many people are facing evictions and privation, that that's a huge, huge demographical and statistical factor to understand. Out there, so it's not to, you know,
that's well and understood, but it could also lead to, you know, okay, I worked my ass off for 50 years and I've done reasonably well, and then I'm gonna be I did well shamed. Maybe I should have just been poor.
let me chime in on this. Of course, you know, poverty is a brother or sister to racism, right? And underrepresentation is one way to the manifestations of systemic poverty. But we know that the system, poverty is built into the system, into the economic system. In regards to, you know, there's an economic term called the misery index. So that's one thing. I also think that some of the things that need to be addressed is the systemic racism. Poverty is definitely a byproduct or product of systemic racism. But the underrepresentation of communities in the station, That's the charge of the Committee of Inclusion, is to give voice or to articulate those things that cause a underrepresentation in regards to the communities that are not at the station. So I just wanted to mention that.
No, thank you. I don't disagree. Please don't misunderstand me.
I didn't misunderstand. Go ahead. Go ahead, Michael.
And in fact, that's why I was tanked when I was listening to something that was a show on Sunday morning masquerading as a Husker-esque infomercial. Give $250 as a donation, and we'll give you seminars on how to get rich. That is so contrary to inclusion, I wanted to throw up. That's why I'm running.
Yeah. Now, if any of those things actually worked, you know, why doesn't the station just use them? Then we wouldn't have to worry about fundraising. But, yeah.
No, but those are, that's insulting to the underserved and if you just say impoverished community, to say, we'll help you get rich and we'll send you stuff that you can get rich by donating $250, is supposed to doing what the last gentleman just said, which is solving the systemic problems of racism and lack of wealth building because people, you know, haven't had the ability to own homes or start businesses. That's where the answer comes, and we need to include and talk to that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Looks like you got my boat, Michael.
Thank you. H-E-I-S-S. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to ramble on there.
Yeah, you know, all I'm saying about trying to get anything people give us will be voluntary on their part. There's no way to mandate that people respond to the entire survey or any question on it. It's always an option. I just think that income level is you often see it on surveys and forms, and it's a valid piece of information, and it speaks to what communities people are in fact. So, you know, like... you talk about the fact that there's not a lot of Asian programming APFK, but there are multiple Asian communities in Southern California. You know, there are, you know, different Chinatowns, quote unquote. There's, you know, Little Tokyo.
There's Cambodian, there's Laotian,
yeah,
there's Thai, there's Filipino, there's Vietnamese.
And there are, within those communities, there are also stratification by income. And so,
language.
You know, yes. So all I'm saying is the more data we can get, the better to understand who currently is listening and how it corresponds. The Census Bureau is finally supposed to release, I think in September, the data from the 2020 census. It's been held up because of all the crap that Trump was pulling, but it's supposed to finally come out. So I think we should try to get a hold of that. And, you know, make some comparisons between what we can learn about our audience and who's actually out there, because that's how you determine who's underrepresented. So
they've already stated that demographic data is flawed, which, as you just said, probably will be no surprise given who is monkeying around with it. And if part of the goal is to be as inclusive as possible, thing I would say is KPFK's schedule group up to the light and look at it against DAI's programming grid. And they serve many more communities than our station does, yet we have more communities to serve. And one of the things, in addition to putting it on the ballot, which I think is a great idea that I'd like to see be done. I don't know what the vehicle is for it, but if it's this committee or the LSB or whomever lines up with Cal State Northridge, UCLA, USC, Irvine, you know, some community college, and have a graduate student class take on the type of survey that you're talking about as their senior project or whatever. And I would trust their results and their ability to find the right means to reach the listeners. And I would hope that would give us a much better demographic view of who the listeners are.
Yeah, you know, there are a lot of vehicles that we should be using that we're not. I've been trying to get the CAB, the Community Advisory Board, reconstituted, because the CAB is actually supposed to conduct a community needs assessment every year, pretty much, and report to the LSB about that. Committee of Inclusion is supposed to collaborate with the station management. The new station manager is coming very shortly, and I think that's a positive fact as well. It will have a permanent person in place locally, you know, be kind of rolling up their sleeves and trying to get the station off the shoals, so to speak. I'm not saying that the information in the census will be perfect, but it's probably the largest data set that's out there of who is in the listening area. It's not the listeners, obviously, because we only have maybe 10,000 listener members and maybe, 60,000 listeners or something, 80,000 listeners. So, there's a big gap between who's listening.
A market with 8 million people.
Yeah.
Crying out loud.
Yeah. So, we once had 45,000 members paid up. And we've lost them. So I think it relates to what you're saying, what Lawrence is saying about the programming has abandoned them. And if you could compare the current grid, not just the BAI, but to the grid of KPFK 10 years ago or 12 years ago, when we had a lot more variety in the programming, and we had a local newscast, and we had a morning magazine show, and we had a lot of stuff that, we no longer have, and we don't have the listeners anymore either, and I think there's a relationship. So,
okay. I've said my piece. Thank you. Thank you for the
indulgence. No, absolutely. And the whole point is to try to get, people's ideas and people engaged and, find some solutions, and including, I think that's... If we had more of that on the radio itself, we'd have more listeners, too. There's, too much of a litany of woe of what all the problems are, not enough about what people are doing to solve them, grassroots level. There's mutual aid networks, and there's, LA Community Action Network, and a lot of people out there that are, solving some of these problems in their own neighborhoods and their own communities, and, if we had more coverage of that, I think it would be uplifting and inspiring and attract more listeners. So,
well, one of the other ways to, try and solve that is there's another suggestion that when the elections come around, and I realize that's into next year, everybody focuses on the big races. But if you look at the city council or whatever the equivalent is in the various cities, not just L.A., but that comprise this huge listening area, to sponsor a series of locally based candidate debates to get people to attend in person and then hopefully get some mass media coverage, because they sure as hell won't do it. But that'll help our branding to say tonight, last night on a candidate debate sponsored by KPFK, candidate A and candidate B and candidate C said whatever the heck it is that they said. But the object is to put the name, first is to put the station's name in front of potential listeners. More listeners equals more sponsors equals more money. But the other is to show that we care about these things. Earl Fari Hutchison did something on his show last Saturday, I believe, about gentrification in Lemur Heights and what's going to happen to the Crenshaw Mall. What if we were able to sponsor a live community debate with the people in the neighborhood, God help us, representing both sides so that we're not grievance radio? We've had a grievance president. We don't need grievance radio. Let both sides be heard and let everybody chart the course of action that they think befits the direction they want, but that's a way to get broader media coverage in the LA Times or whatever the appropriate vehicle is. We're missing an easy boat that gets us inclusion and sponsors.
Of course, you have to be careful who your sponsors are.
No, I'm sorry. By sponsors, I mean by having an event like that in a community, in Wimmert Park or at the mall or whatever, or at a church or some civic building down there. By sponsors, I mean by attracting an audience of people in a demographic group that will suddenly realize that there's this weirdo radio station out there that really cares about us, and the rest of them don't. You know, maybe we should listen to it. And if they listen to it, you know, for goodness sakes, they might even support it, and that beats having a damn fund drive every half hour.
Yeah, you were talking about listener sponsors when you said sponsors,
yes,
right?
Yes. I'm sorry. I perhaps wasn't as clear about that.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea, personally. You know, I go down there, or I used to, since COVID happened. I actually did go down there about 3 weeks ago to do some organizing in the bus riders union. But now I'm kind of up again because of this COVID. And, but there's a big fight down there. Many of the local people are being forced out because of prices. And but no one ever, you know, for instance, even on the program you mentioned, oh, God, I've forgotten the name, but it comes on Sunday morning or, yeah.
Hutchison.
Does some good stuff. And but the people calling in, and Hutchison himself didn't mention that the whole idea of the prices going up because people with a little more money move in and causes the prices to go up. And he talks well as both good and bad. And, you know, I don't know if you were listening to that debate.
Yes, I was.
Yeah, but I said, well, wait a minute. This whole idea of land, formerly indigenous land, is now become a commodity, and so people get pushed around like checkers, or you know, like they're on the checkerboard. They have no power over their own lives. I mean, I'm getting into my anti-capitalist thing here, but you know, I can imagine in a debate like that having these things come up. And hearing many different voices on it, that sounds like a pretty good idea.
Well, with the caveat that what he was saying, and I gather that you listened to the show as well, and I found it, you know, very interesting. And clearly, home ownership in that type of community is one of the ways to build wealth, and the people who live there shouldn't be deprived of that opportunity to capitalize, no pun intended, on the investments in the homes that they've been living in. But on the other hand, I can take a little offense at saying, well, you know, when, you know, young white professionals are moving in and they're forcing people out. Well, that's a story that's as old as the hills. And true, you know, redlining and all of that is true. But then you get into, you know, I don't want to be Rodney King. Why can't we all get along? It's not one or the other. The goal of this is to find a way to do what you can, not to deprive the people who are there, but to open the community to others who might want to live there.
Okay. Well, you know, as you said, it's been redlining and segregation in the L.A. housing. And what's going on in that particular area has a lot to do with the fact that the city is using the construction of light rail lines to further gentrification. And that, you know, so they're building the Crenshaw line, you know, from the Expo line out through that neighborhood and out to the airport. And so that's a big factor of what's going on. And it's not just individuals, you know, deciding to move somewhere. It is the decisions that the policymakers and you know, taxpayer subsidies for rail over bus lines and a lot of other things that are going on. So there's a lot more at play, is all I'm saying.
Well, these are all the issues that relate to inclusion that are more than just, you know, do we have a voice for this group or that group or the other group?
Let me step in, Michael. Hold on. All right, Michael, let me step in, because I see us kind of crossing into, I think, uncharted territory, right? And, well, it's not uncharted because we have another committee called the Community Advisory Board that's supposed to do those kind of needs assessment in the community. What I'd like us to concentrate on is including people that have been locked out of the station or have been alienated as a result of the programming. So I think one of the things that we can do is consider that, because I think what you're talking about and what's being talked about is things that the Community Advisory Board is going to be looking at in regards to when they get to doing their community needs assessment. I think the paradigm of the status quo has not worked, because as a result of the status quo, we have barely 9,000 listeners left at our station, where about 4 or 5 years ago, 6 years ago, we had over 45,000 listeners, subscribed paying member listeners in our station, and we could call an action, and that action will be packed with KPFK, and then we were in the community with our banners and all of that. So I think, you know, one of the things that I'd like to do is look at the demographics and the geographics of our listening area, right? And we go all the way from Santa Barbara to Crest. Right, and then we have then we go into San Diego. So I think what we need to do, I think if you take a snapshot of the programming, if you look at the so-called grid, you'll see that the status quo is not working, because that grid is like a for lack of a better word, it's not working. I don't want to say it's like having a leg iron on. It is like having leg iron on, right? Because it doesn't, I mean, it goes very slow and changes. You have such underrepresentation of relevant programming in regards to what our youth are going through, in regards to what BIPOC people are going through, as a result of what indigenous people are going through, what the result of what our elders are going through. The elderly, those who are impoverished, and I even haven't mentioned prisoners, people who are incarcerated, or people who are just getting out of, hold on, Michael, please. People who are also reintegrating back into society, and we need to take a look at those people who are doing the work to help them reintegrate into society. Like one example is the Youth Justice Coalition that does a lot of that reintegration work. So, I mean, that's what I would like us to concentrate on. As a convener and as an LSB member and a director to the Pacifica National Board, I'm charged in convening this Committee of Inclusion so we could develop a report. Hopefully we could develop a report before this term is over, right, where the new LSB members that are going to come on could see the report. So I opened that up for discussion. And then I think what I will do for our next meeting, I will put an agenda together and send it out. So my email address, Michael, so you can have it.
Whoa, hang on. Hang on one second. I gotta get, a piece of paper. Oh man. Come on, speak to me. Where's a pen? Or I gotta cut my finger and write in blood. Hang on, there's a pen.
Thank you,
I'm sorry, sir. Yes. What's the email?
It's ALIANZ as in zebra, APR@hotmail.com.
And I'm sorry, and what's your name, sir?
Lawrence Reyes.
Lawrence, okay. Thank you, Mr. Reyes. And I apologize. You know, just indulge me a little bit for being new to who's doing this landscape.
I get it.
So I apologize.
No, I get it. You don't need to apologize. And please stop apologizing. Don't apologize for being passionate and for being forward-thinking, right? Definitely don't apologize for that.
Thank you.
Other Michaels in a sec.
Bella,
okay, Michael. Okay, Bella, you go ahead because Michael's already spoken. Is that okay with you, Michael?
Yeah, that's fine.
Go ahead,
Thank
Bella.
Thank you. Yes, I am glad that you brought this committee to order to the focus of the demographics and the geographics within the signal area of the station, because that is exactly what the mandate should be for this body. I am looking at the NEAT assessment, Community Advisory Board Community Assessment Survey. When I was the chair of such a committee back in 2009 or 10, a few years back, and these were the items that we would distribute when we would go to different communities and then collect them and then bring them to the station, but they were not really followed through with. So they are available, and also a link where they can be found. I can share that as well. I'm looking at a survey discussion guidelines and suggestions. That is also a small form that can be utilized. And what I find is that there's a lot of cross work between the CAB and the community of inclusion. However, I agree with you that if we concentrate on the demographics and the geographics and then draw them in into some sort of enough data, and then compare that, bring it to the programming grid, as you said, which is non-representative, then we can make the case and show clearly why is this programming grid not representative of the signal area. Thank you so much. I just got off the debate, and I spoke about this very issue. I did not go into the demographic and the geographic, but I spoke about the grid not being representative of the signal area, and it hasn't been for years. Thank you.
Thank you, Bella. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, so...
Who's that? Who asked for the sec after Michael? Hold on. Oh, go ahead, Michael.
Just to recap, because I'm going to fill it out, one of the things we did discuss was the idea of doing a survey of our listeners to go out with the ballots, so that all the are members eligible to vote in the LSB election would get a survey of the various demographic factors that they would, you know, how they would identify themselves. In terms of the work of the committee, I think there are two things. One is to look at the current grid and break it down in terms of the demographics of who's on there, both in terms of how much of it is coming locally versus nationally, and how much of it is, you know, from different, ethnicities, male and female, gay, straight, other criteria that people might have. And then the other thing we tried to do the last time we did have a committee of inclusion was to look at the guests on the shows. And I think that would be instructive also to take, let's say, a week of programming and not necessarily have to listen every minute yourself, but going through the archives over the course of a week, seeing the demographic breakdown of the people invited onto the airwaves by the hosts. In other words, not just the what's the identity or the demographics of the show host, but how does that, you know, affect, you know, the range of opinions and demographics of the people being invited to talk on the shows, and, or, you know, the, in terms of the, you know, look at the content of the music played on the different shows and so on and so forth. So I think that both of those surveys are things that the Committee of Inclusion could undertake, along with trying to get this other data in various ways about the, not the listeners, but the entire audience that's out there, potential audience, and see what the gaps are. You know, what's, you know, we talked earlier about the question of, you know, Asian programming, but there are multiple Asian communities. There are multiple, you know, Mesoamerican, Central American, you know, Latin American communities. You know, people don't necessarily identify themselves with one lump, you know, term that might be used on the census. They think of their nationality and, you know, the language they speak in their home and so on. So I think all that information should be gathered, but it could be compared to what the existing grid is and the existing content within that of what's on the grid in terms of the as they say, the guests and the topics that are covered, the you know, the type of music that's played and so on. I'm done.
Nancy, back.
Go ahead. Who's that, Nancy?
Yeah.
Go ahead,
okay.
Nancy.
Yeah. You mentioned, Lawrence, you mentioned something which kind of brought back memories, and I like this idea of going out in the community and finding out the demographics and everything. But you mentioned prisoners. We used to have you probably remember this, we used to have a terrific, we used to have folios, and we used to send folios out to the prisoners. I think it's important that people who are prisoners, whether they're going to be there, hopefully they won't be there for the rest of their lives, but whether they're there or not, and then that, of course, helped them if they were made known that there is the Pacifica Station. And we had we used to have a program on prisoners, it seems. I don't know, it either was put at a time, I don't know where it is anymore, or it was taken off. But we used to have programs where former prisoners called in. Some of them became activists when they were out. So, you know, we need to improve up because it's terrible to be in there, especially if you've been, and they've been organizing, as you know. So that's a very, I like that idea that you brought up prisoners.
Okay.
Michael,
and Bella,
go
ahead, Bella.
And Michael back.
And then the other Michael, okay.
Yeah. So that show was Think Outside the Cage with Jerry Silva, and they claimed they were taking it off temporarily for improvements in the sound quality, and it never came back. I'm not sure what's happening with it. But, you know, one of the things I was saying about comparing the current grid to the prior grid is that KPFK used to have a lot of shows. We used to have a show for the elderly, used to have a show for the disabled, we used to have a show from the trans community, we used to have a show for prisoners, we used to have a show for kids, you know, and all these, what we used to have, you know, is why we don't have the audience we have anymore.
Thank you. Bella?
Yes, I was going to say Thinking Outside the Cage with Jerry Silva. In fact, I was in touch with Jerry Silva not long ago when I was doing an appeal to vote against the referendum. I wanted, you know, the programmers, the unpaid programmers to know what was going on. It's interesting what Michael just said because, you know, I've been ringing this bell now, I don't know how many years now, what we used to is what we don't. And because we used to raise $1 million three times a year, over $1 million three times annually. All that we used to is how we were able to cover our monthly expenditures, invest in youth internal programming, training. We were able to pay for a full-time news department. We were out in the street and covering all kinds of community events and doing live segment on the street. So all of that, and all of these other programs is what we need to return to, but it boils down to one thing, and that is local flavor, local programming with local flavor within our single area. So when we do these surveys of our demographics and our geographics, and certainly the prisoners have to be included in there. And let's not forget that not long ago, in recent time, an LSB controlled by some people tried very hard to do away with a voucher. So we also have a voucher in lieu of membership. And just yesterday, I spent over, I don't know, maybe 45 minutes documenting how is it that we have all these options and we do not promote them on the air. We never even talk in English during the English programming hours, but in Spanish, yes, you can hear when the programmers say, yes, $25, your annual $25 qualifies you for membership. And we don't do any of that. We do not promote the value of Pacifica. I'm getting another call. Okay, I'll let it go. So this is what's going on. Not only the programming grid here is what needs to be revised, but how we do not promote the value of Pacifica over the airwaves. We have to promote every, at the top and at the bottom of every program, $25 annual membership. Why? Because it's one vote, one membership. And when people give more than $25, well, that's fine and dandy. But everyone that gives over $25 must be notified. They must be told that they are entitled to membership. This is the value that we do not promote on air. So all of this has to be part of the what we need to revise. Thank you.
Thank you, Bella. Very cogent remarks. Michael, the other Michael.
Thank you. And one of the things that I was on the candidate forum that was recorded yesterday, and one of the things that came up, two of the topics were listener democracy and listener rights. And Bella is correct. When somebody makes a donation of over $25, they should be informed as to what their listener rights are. We should have interstitials that say, you're a listener, you're a supporter, here's your rights. I just wanted to throw in, looking at the AI, they have a weekly program on the count, the Prison and Criminal Justice Report, which is produced by formerly incarcerated people. I mean, you know, what a novel concept. We need to, though, whoever has said that we need to do a demo survey of the listeners and listener supporters, but I think as equally important, we need to hold that up against, as was also previously said, the census data or whatever data, because there are other communities that, you know, may be impoverished or may not be. There are a lot of people from the other side of the ocean, from the Middle East and Iran, and not everybody who's Persian lives in Beverly Hills is rich. A lot of them don't live in Beverly Hills, and they're impoverished. When I lived in West Hollywood, my son was friends with the family of Persian immigrants, and you know, and the father was working as a janitor to send his son through school. You know, you could just go down the A to Z list from Armenia to Zimbabwe, and everybody in between is here in L.A. We not only have to serve them, but reach out to them and let them know that we are serving them.
Thank you.
Andrew Tuck.
Who's that?
Andrew Weiss. American.
Go ahead, Andrew. How you doing, man? Go ahead.
Good, good. Thank you. I just jumped on the meeting. First of all, let whoever's organizing this know, the first three times I tried to access, it said the access code was not valid, and I finally got in right now.
Did you tell the 619 number or the 2323 number?
I dialed the number that was, let me see, 619-309-309.
No, 323 number.
All right. Well,
no,
I did
no,
get on.
No, that does not work. The 323.
619.
That's the number. That's the number I called.
I couldn't get in. It said I was the only one
okay,
there.
Okay. All right. All right. You're in. So let's let that go.
Margo, can you hear me, Margo?
Hi, Margo.
Hey, Margo.
I was calling the Zoom number that Bella had sent out on her notice, and then finally Andrew sent me the one, and I did use the 619 number, and it ended up working. Now I add that because it's Maestro and not Zoom, so I got it. So we got to make some clear communications. But let's keep going with the idea that we must communicate with everybody possible in every form. Someone else just wrote that they had gone out and talked to people about KPFK and reached out. And so we really do have to do it at every possible venue.
Okay, Margo, hold on. Hold on, Margo.
Thank you.
You'll be next. Andrew requested this fact. Go ahead, Andrew.
Okay, sorry. Okay, you got to be there later.
Okay. Thank you, Lauren. And, thank you, Margo. Thank you, Margo. Like I said, I just jumped on, so I don't know how relevant this is, but I hear us talking about communicating with the listeners and including listeners in, you know, in what's going on at the station. And my suggestion, which I've been suggesting for years and I still think is quite valid as far as informing the listeners, and number one and number two, dialoguing with the listeners and getting their input, I would like to see a weekly program that is dedicated to what's going on at the station, similar to what we call the discussion with the listeners that we get monthly from the LSB and from the GM. But I would like to see that on a weekly basis, at least a half hour, better still an hour, where we open up the phone lines and we at the top of every show, we can inform the listeners about what's going on, the events, et cetera, and then open up the phone lines and we can have as guests, we can have the station staff rotating through. And then we can communicate directly with each of the departments and every programmer who wants to come on, everybody. I think that would be really beneficial to the station, and I think it should be hosted by listeners themselves, a team of listeners. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Margo, go ahead.
Oh, hello there. Well, I think that it's got to be very clear communication about these meetings that make sure we get the right information so there's not a lot of delays. And I do believe, yes, that outreach must happen at every possible event to include everybody everywhere at every kind of personal event. Now, there are some programmers that do talk about events, which should be on a community calendar, and then KPFK should have a table there. Even if they're Zoom or even if they're far away, KPFK should have a present at every meeting saying, hello, we want to reach out to you. Hello, you're special. We want to include you in our station. And that would be a very good way to do it. And, you know, I think we need to coordinate that with everybody in charge. Maybe when there's a new general manager, it'll be more amenable to that and we can work with it. You know, but they are, I always have to keep saying they're begging us for money. We are their employers. We have to know where every penny goes. And if we require them to put on the air a meeting of the listeners with the programmers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, they have to do it. I think that's the most important thing to say. You're begging us for money. We pay the bills. We pay you. We need to know everything about it. And you need to do what we tell you to do, not what you make up on your own. I think that's a really important thing that we got to get. Maybe talk about how do we get them to do what we need them to do rather than just letting them go off on their own. Thank you. Thank you so much. It took a while to get in, but it's worth it. Thank you. It's a new moon. Bye-bye.
Bella to the stack.
Thank you. Go ahead, Bella.
Yes. So, Margo, I never did send you or anyone any Zoom connection. The confusion with this meeting is that there was a different number used at the first, at the second meeting, which was over a month ago. And that's what Lawrence had told me. But I never posted any number. I posted, I told everyone to go to KPFDX because those numbers can change as well. I couldn't get, I could not get in through the previous number. I had to use what was posted at KPFDX, the 619 number. Okay, you missed, both of you missed a lot of good stuff that was discussed here. And I wanted to recap what Lawrence Reyes brought us to discuss at the earlier part, which is the charge of this body is to concentrate on the demographics and geographics of the signal area of KPFK. And within that, then, we talked about Michael Novick as well, regarding the programming grid to break it down from everything. What is really on the grid, how representative it is of the different communities, along with the type of guests that are brought in, because all of that has to be factored in. And then I also spoke about promoting the $25 annual membership that is very, very critical. If we do not promote the value of Pacifica for membership, everything has to be geared for membership, and that's what is not done. So we miss the boat around the clock every day. It's not promoted.
May I be on the stack, please? Because I heard something, but I want to make it clarified. So thank you. Okay. Thank you. All right. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. Go ahead. And then I want us to get to next steps. Was that Margot that wanted to speak?
Okay. Okay. What I want to hear and make very clear is it was sent out during the New Day bylaws referendum thing that if you had a family member, blah, blah, who contributed more than $50, you would have two votes. I think that has to be extremely made clear that the minimum amount for a membership is 25, but that each separate individual has to record themselves as a member with that donation rather than suddenly opening the doors to household members, blah, blah, blah. I was always thinking that really that's a very, because of inclusion, and then there were some kind of special memberships for prisoners and things like that, which we can, you know, that could be also included, but that 25 bucks is an individual member. Each individual member has to join separately, and I think that's very important, whether they get a scholarship, so to speak, or whether they just pay their own. But God, if you could have $500, you could end up with 5,000 memberships. That's what they're trying to, so seem like they're trying to do. So we got to make that very clear. Thank you. And I think to get kids involved again, we got to put Uncle Ruthie's programs from the very beginning at a very prime time, because then you get the inner children of everybody to take and listen at maybe 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning or something like that. Everybody listens to Uncle Ruthie and joins in and connects with all kinds of wonderful things. And God willing, she's still around, but I don't know for sure. But she's a treasure, and that would attract children and every children of every age and get a lot of new members because they're part of the, you have to get them in early, and then they can grow up to be a member. Oh, thank you. It's still a part of my life, so I have to still involve myself. Thank you for including me.
Okay, thank you. All right, so I'm going to call on myself. One of the things that I remember about Saturday mornings was waking up and listening to my son say, I want cinnamon toast. When he was trying to say cinnamon, he would say cinnamon. And then he would say Uncle Ruthie, Uncle Ruthie. And so he used to be a big listener of Uncle Ruthie and her stories. She is definitely missed, and she's definitely an icon. But there's also other people that could serve in that space as well that, just wanted to say that. So I think moving forward, there was suggestion that we evaluate, listen to programs, the ones that you listen to, or the ones you don't listen to, listen to programs, evaluate, kind of capture who their guests are and the nature of their guests to see how many people are overrepresented and how many people are represented.
on the so-called grid. So I will entertain discussion about that. And the other thing that we need to do also is develop a survey in regards to the geographics and demographics of the station. So, and I know there has been some surveys in there. And this idea of listening to programs, that was done the last time I convened.
Can somebody mute star six?
Okay, thank you. So I remember having, I can't remember the development director, Sue Corn, or Sue something, I can't remember her name. Sue Welch, that was her name.
Yeah, Sue Welch, right.
And she was very involved, and what we did, we had a committee, cadre of about 8 people, and what they did was they listened to programs, demonstrated, the disparity that exists in regards to, people demographically and geographically, being represented at the station. So, that's another task that we can get into. I'll open it up for discussion, and then we should probably take another half hour and schedule the next meeting. Go ahead, Bella. You wanna address this?
Yes. So I like this, and yes, Sue Welch was a great development director. I don't know how old she is now, what her age is, but she was just the greatest. She was always very, very involved with the outreach committee the GM, what's her name?
Eva,
yes, thank you. I've only written our name, I don't know how many times over the years. We developed also a budget proposal to start promoting the station all throughout the community. It was about $60,000, including 3 part-timers, to create a database, it was all inclusive, and it was a very detailed proposal, professional. Several of us worked on it, and we handed her the package. She reviewed it with Sue Welch. They liked it, and it took a little bit for her to come around, Eva, and say, okay, you know what, we need to adopt this. But at that time, there was a movement to push her out because she did make so many great changes to the programming grid. So eventually, October of 2008, she was pushed out. She had to resign. And many other political issues arose from that. So we need to reclaim our roots here. And it's all part about reclaiming our mission statement. And I fully agree with Andrew. That we certainly need that weekly program, right? This is essential. And every program needs to open its door for listener input and comments, because this is how you bring in the community into the station again. We don't have any of that. The station has been on lockdown for years, and the excuse has been it's on constant fund drive. But why is it on constant fund drive? Once we do this analysis of the grid, it will tell us why. You don't have to go too far. And I also want to propose to this body, I created a blank template of a programming grid. And I submitted that to the Program Oversight Committee, but it didn't go anywhere because of politics. I would like us to adopt this project is that we take that programming grid template, and each one of us in this committee, when we do the analysis, the review, the evaluation, we can work with that template based on the programs that we feel may be representative and leave. And where do we want to see, what time slot do we want to see those programs? And some of them only have a half hour, and some of them are in the middle of nowhere, like early a.m. Saturday morning or early a.m. Sunday morning. So a lot of those programs need to be brought up to the sunshine, need to be expanded to 1 hour with call-in open lines. And that immediately will begin to shift this energy between the station and the listening audience. So there are many things that we can do real quick that can start shifting us away from the funk, the financial funk we have slumped into. That's all I wanted to say for now. And then the voucher. Let's talk more about the voucher in lieu of membership. We talked about that before. I brought that up before Andrew and Margot joined us. That is a very important value of Pacifica, this voucher, because this voucher is not only for the prisoners, but is for people in hardship, okay? So Michael Hayes spoke of this janitor.
Bella, it's called a waiver.
The voucher waiver. I call it a voucher waiver. So that is very important. It's a very important value. And this is how we bring people in. Also inviting the youth to come for in-house training. All of these ways is how we invite the audience in. So we don't have to reinvent the wheel. These are what we have done in the past. We just have to bring that template back in. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. So I just want to call on myself real quick because there was an amendment, a bylaws amendment, 2 years ago at the Pacifica National Board that wanted to get rid of the waiver, listen to waiver. And
right.
I put a stop to it because they were going to do it without notice. Without the cards being played, that there was a bylaws amendment to get rid of the waivers, which would have been a nightmare to do
right.
that. So the waivers are still there. People have to request them. They are not just given out automatically. So I just wanted to let you all know that. I wanted to let all of you know that. I think we could listen to the programs on the air, and we could also determine, we could tease out their guests and see how many guests are overrepresented geographically and demographically. And then we could also look at the grid that Bella has put together. So Bella, if you could send that.
Yes, and also the survey. With the link.
Right. That was the next thing I was going to say. But also the surveys too. So we got some work to do.
I want
to caution us not to do the programming committee work. But if there's a gap, right, or if there's a reason why, the programming committee or something cannot be sent to the national programming committee, then we step in and articulate that and propose it.
Michael, okay. H to the back, please.
Go ahead,
Andrew,
Michael.
Andrew to the staff, please.
Everyone. I've actually got to run for a family obligation at 6, so I just wanted to put in one or two more things. I totally agree that, and I've been caught this in the last hour and 15 minutes, and I've learned something. If the job of this committee is to see who isn't included, and who should be included, which I guess is everybody at the end of the day, let's figure that part out and leave the programming to the people who are charged with programming. It sounds, as was just mentioned, that's not our gig. We need to provide the input data to them so that they can do their thing, with the one caveat, and I'll break my own rule, not all slots are forever. If we were to say this month from X o'clock to Y o'clock for 4 weeks, we're going to have programming. We'll go through the alphabet. We'll start with Armenian. And the next month it'll be Azerbaijani. And you take the list of who won medals at the Olympics and go down that list of countries. there are people from all of those countries, you know, Africa, sub-Saharan Africa, Eastern Europe, living in our DMA. And we need to find out who, as inclusive, who needs to be served the most and who is not being served, and then hand that over to the programming committee and let them do their job on the backs of what we've done. And thank you, Mr. Reyes. I'll send you my contact information, and I appreciate the opportunity to be heard. And let's respect the past, honor the past, know what was done in the past, but for crying out loud, let's look to the future and make it better for everybody.
Okay, so before you go, Michael, let me just tell you this. We are not here to do the work of one single committee to submit recommendations. We are here to submit the recommendations to the LSB and the PMB, and also to the general manager and the interim executive director. We're not going to do the footwork for programming committee or governance committee or anything like that. We have our own footwork to do. So that's not an old school thing. That's just the way the process is. So I just wanted to let you know, my brother.
You know, I got you. I haven't taken the test yet for my learner's permit. So I'm not, you know, driving at full speed yet. And I appreciate, you know, we're all about education here, and I appreciate a bit of learning. And thank you for hearing me out. And I guess one way or another, you'll be hearing me again in one form or another. Have a good evening, everyone.
Thank you, Michael. I have your email.
I'll pass it on to Lauren.
Thank you very much, Bella.
Okay.
Thank you, Bella. Okay. So we have about another 15 minutes, and then we're going to adjourn this meeting. Anything else that anybody wants to bring up? In addition, we got three things that we could work at, and I think we should start off with setting ourselves up for success, doing some realistic work. So I think those three things, looking at the program grid, listening to programming to see who's overrepresented and who's underrepresented, then the survey. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. But back with one additional task, I think we should set ourselves, which is recruiting additional people.
Can you speak up, Michael? I could better hear you.
I don't know why. Can you hear me?
That's better.
You break up a lot. Okay, here.
I said, I think an additional task we should set ourselves is recruiting additional people to this committee of inclusion, because there are people who volunteered for it from the LSP who are not on the call that we should try to get them to come to future meetings, but also we should get some people from some of the excluded communities and get them to participate in, you know, reaching out, you know, and identifying more information from their own communities as to, you know, what ought to be on the air and isn't.
Yes, I agree.
Andrew was on
Michael, hold on, Andrew. Oh, 1 second, please. Michael, how would you suggest that we do that?
I think we should give a lot of advance notice to the next meeting and put together some kind of invitation and start to send it out. You know, I mean, I think we know people in a number of different Asian communities and they're not well represented. I think we know people, you know, in other geographic areas that are not, you know, well represented. We should try to get people in Orange County, in Santa Barbara, in San Diego. I know there are people in San Diego that, you know, would like to have better coverage of what's happening down there.
Okay,
yeah.
I get you. Hold on, Bella, before you go, Andrew's next. Andrew, go ahead.
Okay.
Yes, was the other Michael that was speaking who left us, was that Michael Heiss?
Yes.
Yeah.
Great, thank you. And 2 points here. Number one, following up on what Michael Novick just said, again, I must say it seems like a no-brainer to me. If we had a weekly show on air to promote everything that's going on, including LSB committees, other events, membership, programming changes, get input from the listeners. You know, that's a common place we can all start gathering on the air and communicating with each other. Right now, all the information is all over the place. And to find out what's going on, it takes a whole lot of work. Once a week, a half hour a week, we got plenty of places we could put it on the programming grid for the sake of building our station. What's the most important thing? That's it right there, and communication with the listeners. And that would support everything, as well as, once again, getting the different programmers and the different staff members on the air to communicate directly with the listeners. They need our support, and they need our feedback. And we need to hear from them. And then secondly, I think regarding building membership, I think we're dropping the ball here. That, you know, as far as I know, the benefits of becoming a member while getting to vote on issues, LSB, elections, et cetera, as far as I know, that's the only benefit. And it's a great benefit, but there's so much more we could do. And we need to, go with the phrase that American Express has: membership has its benefits. There are so many things we could tag on to that as a member that won't cost us a dime. We could have a newsletter for members. We can have special events for members. When we have giveaways on the air, we can say, this is for members only. So many things we could do, and that would make it inviting to members, people of all sorts, to join, to donate their 3 hours, just 3 hours to become a member. It would really make it worth it. So I think we need to explore that and capitalize on that, pardon the expression. Thank you, Lawrence.
Oh, marvelous.
I just want to respond. I did set up a newsletter for the LSB with the plan. Anybody can subscribe and get a weekly announcement of what's happening as far as committees and other opportunities for engagement. So that's on, it's KPFK LSB News at list.riseup.net. And the way you subscribe is by sending an email to SYMPA, S-Y-M-P-A, at list.riseup.net. And in the subject line, you say subscribe, KPFK LSB News. And you'll join the
list. To everybody? That needs to go up on the email to everybody, because...
Hold on, Margo, please. Do not speak out of turn.
Okay.
I'm going to be quick with that. All right. Now, please send that out. Bella.
Yes. Michael just did this yesterday. He worked hard with... the webmaster, Ali Lexa. This is historic, has never been done before, so it has taken a lot of pressure. Andrew, you are aware that at the end of the year, I began working on the folio, and I even sent you a sample of the first couple of pages, and you liked it, and I tried recreating what was done then, from all the way back to 2003. So I've got the beginning of the template. I just have to expand it. In this folio, we used to also get the P&L, and it was not only the P&L for KPFK. We would get comparative across the network. It was a great, great newsletter, which also documented the short statements of LSB candidates when there were elections and when there were any bylaws, amendments, or anything of such national interest, it would be there as well. But it reported on everything of KPFK, what was going on, special events for membership, special things for membership. I also was singularly responsible for creating the membership card. And I worked with Terry Guy to develop that. And that card was reproduced for several years, then it was dumped. It was dropped. And that card had membership benefits all throughout the community. So we need to revive many of these things that have already been done. Also the community calendar that we used to have around the clock to tell us what was going on in the community, what events were going on. This is how you engage your community. So all of this and the weekly report, I don't believe the weekly report should be a half hour. We are a broadcasting company. We are an educational. We have hold an educational license. Let's concentrate on that. Should be an hour with call-in. Okay. I will stop there.
Okay, thank you. So I think we're really way out there in the bleachers right now, because a lot of this stuff crosses over again with what other communities are supposed to be doing, right? I look at a lot of this stuff, membership, that should be the outreach committee,
right.
in terms of developing how to get membership. I think one of the things that we could look at is developing a pamphlet for listeners' rights. I think that would be appropriate for us. I think the scope of the Committee of Inclusion should be members who are underrepresented and those that have left the station membership as a result of being disillusioned or the programming being irrelevant, or they just don't find nothing on our dial anymore to tune in. And there's probably other reasons you could attach to that too. But that's the focus that I want us to take. A lot of this other stuff, some of that stuff is outreach, some of that stuff is programming, and the other stuff could be governance, like a pamphlet on listeners' rights. We finally got a report to the listener from the LSB after almost, I don't know how many years. There was a report to the listeners from the other state. So we finally got that. So I think I agree with you, Andrew. It would be good to have a weekly show. WBAI and WPFW has a weekly show from governance, right? But over here at KPFK, that would likely be much more difficult because of the nature of our station. And each station is different culturally and the way that it's managed, right? So I definitely concur with your idea that it'll be great if we had a weekly show. I don't think realistically it's going to happen. I think we have to make it happen, and I think that belongs to another committee. So I think our charge here with the Committee of Inclusion is not to do the work of the Community Advisory Board, not to do the work of the Programming Committee, not to do the work of the Outreach Committee, but to do the work of addressing the demographics, the geographics, looking at how the program grid and the programming affects listeners not tuning in, leaving, rescinding their memberships, or whatever. I think that should be our scope. So I wanted to mention that I encourage us to stick to the first three things, and I think we should also consider developing a pamphlet of listener rights as well. So that's listener democracy. Listener democracy, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Anybody else want to chime in?
Yes, Nancy Stadley.
Go ahead, Nancy.
This sounds pretty sound, you know, that we stay kind of focused on what this committee is supposed to be about, because else we'll be bringing all over the place, and there's not many of us in this meeting. This maybe is changing this a little bit, because I have a phone number here, and of course you want to support the elections, LSB elections coming up. Phone number. Is she the national election supervisor or anything like that? Would that be someone I could call to get a paper ballot?
You should definitely email. I could give you those numbers, Nancy.
Yeah, but I'm still trying to learn how to do that. I don't have her on my email, and it's just better if I call. Would that be okay?
Nancy, you have to
email her. You have to email her. She's better with emailing than calling back.
Right, not call. So, Nancy, you have the email. I just sent out a lot of information from the outreach email. You have that. You have her email address and everything I sent out. Renee Pignacola.
Oh, okay. No. Her email. Okay. And then
I know you do not know how to email. So get Larry. Please get Larry to assist you with that.
I mean, I can do it when someone emails me and then I just put it on the thing, but in any
No, do not email back. You don't know how to email back. So get Larry to help you. You need to do that soon.
Right.
The ballots go out Monday.
Next Monday, yeah. Okay.
Or I will try to help you, okay, Nancy?
Okay.
Can we get the next... Oh, by the way, Paul Robertson also signed up for this committee. I signed up, and so did Evelia Jones from the LSB.
I send them emails with the meeting information, Bella.
Okay, so they're not here. So
I could take the horse of water, but I can't make them drink the water, right? So
That's true.
Okay, so let me look at the calendar.
Yeah.
Is the second Monday of the month a good time to meet?
Actually, yes. Yes, it would be good for me.
Can somebody look on KPFTX to see if there's anything happening for the
second Monday for September.
I'm doing it now.
The 13th.
The 13th? Yeah, the 13th is open. Anything happening? 13th.
There is nothing for the 13th on KPFTX.
Just watch out in September. There's Jewish holidays. You might have to accommodate. I don't have my Jewish
calendar. What holiday is it? When I lived in New York, I knew all the Jewish holidays. Which holiday is it, Marva?
Hold on. Let me look at my calendar. Let me just look if I got one here.
Yom Kippur.
Is it Yom Kippur?
No, the 13th would be okay in September. There's no holidays, so that's fine.
September is very busy with Jewish holidays.
Very early. My sister was conceived during Yom Kippur 15. Yom Kippur is not until the end of the month.
Hold on, please. There's three people talking at the same time.
They're very early this year. Rosh Hashanah starts on the 6th, and Yom Kippur is the 15th and 16th.
Right.
15th and 16th.
Okay, yeah.
So you want to...
It's the Days of Atonement.
But the second Monday is okay. There's no holiday. So if we wanted to have this meeting on the second Monday, that's okay. September, that would be fine.
Okay, what time? What time? 4:30. Hold on, please. One at a time, please. Go ahead, Michael.
I said it's the Days of Atonement in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and KPFK has plenty to atone for.
That's true. Do we want to meet so we could continue to atone?
Sure, it's okay to do things like that during that time.
The 13th.
Are you okay with it, Michael?
Yes, that's
Andrew?
Fine.
Okay.
Yes,
I'm okay with it.
Andrew did that too.
So, 4:30 is it?
Try to get some additional people on the call, including the people who volunteered from the LSD.
Yeah.
It's 4:30. Is it 4:30 p.m. a good time?
Yes.
Yeah. What's the date again?
13th.
September 13th, Monday the 13th, second Monday in September.
Yes, I'm good. Andrew is good.
Okay, I'm going to wrap it up myself. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you all.
Oh, bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye, Lawrence. Bye, Michael.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, Nancy. Bye,
everybody. Stay well and hope we can meet in person soon. Bye-bye. Yeah.
Bye-bye, yes. It won't be soon. Thank you.
Right. Blessed be. Have a good new moon.
A long hug, everyone.
Bye, Nancy. Nancy, can I call you back so I can help you with that email?
Sure.
Okay,
I'll
call you back. Okay, bye.
Yeah, I've got to do something about Fiona Wetman's, too. Okay, have a good night, everybody. Bye-bye.